Hello, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through interviews with other guests and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. Sorry, my voice is going already. I'm Susan Jane. I'm your host for the podcast. And as promised, we have got Tina Irwin in today. So, and she's of course talking all about ghosts. But today we're talking about like crossing over. Now, this rite of passage. For some reason, Tina, microphone, can't unmute the guest because, oh, okay. Tina's back. Sorry, she had mute her microphone, so I wasn't so sure. Tina's going to give us a bit quick rundown on her life and how she came into this. But this is all about the rite of passage, and it's about how we cross over and how we can help our loved ones or friends cross over as well. So it's we're going to cover up on grief and the understanding of it, the different levels we have, the different dimensions and things like that. So you'll get a really lot of learning out of this one. But with no further ado, let's welcome Tina to the show. Hi, Tina. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hi, Susan. How are you? I have a froggy voice, but it still works.
Oh, it's a sexy telephone voice. Don't worry about it. And the other thing is, guys, there is a little bit of a lag between it. So be patient with us when we're doing that. So if we get a little bit caught up, that's the reason why. But first things first, Tina, tell us a little bit about you.
Okay. I think I'm like a lot of the population. As a child, I had some psychic ability. I had an imaginary friend. My mother just didn't notice that when we moved from one house to another, my imaginary friend didn't come with me because she wasn't imaginary. She was a ghost. And growing up, you know, you have the odd psychic events, but you know, life is based on reality. And sometimes you realize you have to make a living whether or not you're psychic. So I joined the Navy in 1972. I know it sounds like another lifetime ago, the dark ages, but it was also really an exciting time. And so I was one of the first female naval officers to really go higher into the ranks. And I was able to work for the submarine force. And actually, the truth is I joined the Navy to find a husband. That's the truth, because this is all about telling the truth. And I met him the very first day at my very first duty station in New London, Connecticut. And I did rise to the rank of commander, and I worked for the submarine force for 20 years. But because of the laws of the U.S. Congress, I was never able to have command of a submarine. I did an enormous number of years in support roles, and I still loved it. And during the time I was in the Navy, a lot of psychic ability began to develop. And as it developed, I realized that this wasn't going to go away. It's not like a gift that you get at Christmas and you can give it back. There's no giving this back. And so we had a stint in Italy, which was incredible. And I began to see ghosts then. We moved from Italy to Charleston, and everything in Charleston, South Carolina, which was the start of the American Civil War, is haunted, everything. And our 18-month-old house doesn't have to be an old house, but it had predecessor energy. That house was profoundly haunted. My entire neighborhood was haunted. And I did everything in my power for 7 years to figure out what to do with this ghost. And in 1979, you know, into the 80s, I still had no idea. And then we ended up in San Diego, and then I retired at the commander level. And what I realized was that this psychic ability was growing exponentially, and I needed to learn how to do it. And I'd been studying metaphysics from the time I was 8 years old. And I know that sounds strange, but I wanted to understand everything. And I've studied life and death all the greats, the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying and the Urantia book and a ton of different books. And the more I studied, it began to validate my experiences and gave me an explanation for what I was seeing. And when I realized that what a ghost is just a human being, used to have a corporal form is the term, in the third dimension. And when you're in the third dimension, you have to come from somewhere. You drop into the drama of your family's life when you're born. You came from somewhere. That soul that was you entered your mother, and then you became a human being in a heavy, and I say heavy not from a weight term, but when you're not in a human body, you can travel with the speed of thought and you're a form of energy. I realized that when a person becomes a ghost, they move from this third dimension of time and space and gravity. It's the only way a human body can function. And then, like a step-up transformer, the soul moves to the fourth dimension. And that's a place of no time, no space, and no gravity. And you can travel with the speed of thought, which is why someone who dies can visit their relatives anywhere in the world that fast. You can't see me, snap my fingers. And that explains that. But for the soul to be able to get to the fifth dimension or the heaven world, which is the world of light and love and wonder, which is where we hope we come from, requires more help than most people have any idea is required, because no one teaches us what to do at death except the Tibetans. So let me stop for a minute, Susan. How are we doing?
Oh, sorry. We're doing really well. Sorry, but I get a little bit of an echo when I go from big screen to the small screen, and that's why I've been staying on the small screen a little bit more so that I don't get that echo. But, yes, I love the idea about I love the understanding to having these dimensions. So while we're living, while we're in this human form, in this physical form, we're in the third dimension. When we pass over, we go into the fourth dimension. And I'm not making this up. Tina told me this in the last couple of episodes, in the last couple of podcasts that we've recorded. So we go into this fourth dimension, and that's where we get stuck. And Tina refers to a human passing into the fourth dimension as a ghost. Now, in the other podcasts, we have discussed the differences, because I've called it spirit. Now, one of the explanations that Tina gave to me, which made a lot of sense, is spirit is like talking about animals. So spirit is this overarching understanding, as an animal, animals are an overarching understanding. And then we have all different types of animals underneath that. So you have mammals and you have reptiles. So under spirit, we have different aspects in there. So we have ghosts and we have dark intellects, I think was the terminology Tina used last time. So we have these other aspects in there, and in there is where this all happens, is in the fourth dimension. But we want our loved ones to go to the fifth dimension, and this is where they often need help. So I hope that sort of gets a bit of an understanding. I'd love to sort of talk a little bit more about the different spirit aspects, just touch on that a little bit, Tina, so people are aware that the terminology you're using as far as ghost goes, it has a lot of negative connotations because of some of the movies that we've seen, or some of the scary movies, not so much like the good movies, but the scary movies. So can you just reflect a little bit more on that for us? That would be lovely.
I would be happy to. I think that's a really crucial question, because terminology matters. There are good ghosts and there are bad ghosts. And then there's this whole gray area of people who don't mean to be a bad ghost, but they are actually doing harm to the living. And you have people who are confused And they don't know that they're causing so much harm. They jump in people's cars. Truck drivers talk about that. They stop on the side of the road with this wet figure and they talk for an hour and he looks over and she's gone. Freaks him out. Is she a good or bad ghost? She's just a ghost. Well, these are people who lived in a mortal body and they died. They have to go somewhere. We discussed previously the physics of metaphysics. It's really one of my big focuses. Understanding or teaching the physics of metaphysics. So if energy is neither created nor destroyed, which is a physics law, I think it's the second law of thermodynamics, then what happens to the energy that animates a mortal body at death? We don't just become compost. I'm sorry. I know that there are a lot of people who feel like that's what it is, but it denies the laws of physics. So the energy that animates you has to go somewhere. So it transitions to the fourth dimension, and that dimension is basically designed to be a step-up transformer to shift your mortal heavy frequency to a little bit higher frequency so you can make that final transition to the fifth dimension of the heaven world. But if you have guilt or shame, or you were murdered, or you took your own life, your frequency is really, really low, or you died on the battlefield, or you died in a car accident and you don't have a clue that you died. Just nobody's talking back to you when you address them. Those are ghosts. But the fourth dimension has a lot of space. A lot of space. And so it is also inhabited by lower realm intelligences. If you happen to see the movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore and Whoopi Goldberg that came out in the 90s, that is the most accurate depiction of something called a lower realm intelligence. They are minions of black magicians, and they're about 3.5 feet tall, and they have red eyes. And so consequently, these red eyes are terrifying if it's a child sees it or an adult and people think they're crazy. They're really seeing it. They do exist. I can remove them, and I have tools that enable other people to remove them, especially in the Crossing Over prayer book. So you have lower realm intelligences. You have black magicians. It can take many forms. If you remember the Star Wars movies, the dark, dark being, and he had these long, horrible fingernails and that ashy face in the Star Wars films was a black magician. Let's just call it what it is. And that's who lives on those other realms. And they feed on fear. And they're having a feast right now in the last 2 years, let me assure you. And they feed on the fear of mortal people. And there are other beings. They can be in the Harry Potter movies, the Dementors. They're the stuff of nightmares. They're the stuff of legends. And the lower the frequency of a location, the more you will find these horrible beings. For instance, if you are in Dharamshala, India with the Dalai Lama, you won't find them. If you're in Lourdes where you have the healing center and there's a blue aquifer, which is why that water is healing, it's a frequency of that blue, you won't find these horrible beings because the frequency is so high. If you go to one of the Shinto temples in Japan, the cherry trees, the frequency is so high, you're never going to find those beings there. But if you go to a place that is covered with graffiti, which lowers frequency dramatically, filth and trash, cleanliness is next to godliness, because it keeps dark beings and negativity away. So in that dimension, you also have a being called the man with the hat. Children see this being a lot, especially if they happen to encounter a negative location. Very difficult for children. So that explains that in the fourth dimension, there are a whole population of beings. In addition to ghosts, angels don't roam the fourth dimension looking for people to cross over. I would love for that to be true, but that is not true. And if I hear one more grieving parent say, I like to think my child crossed over, the truth is they didn't. They don't know what to do. So the whole point of our connection is the opportunity to give people the tools to help them, to help their loved ones.
Wow. Okay. And just getting that understanding. So we've gone through those quite negative aspects, and it's a little bit, I guess, concerning that if you have had a loved one that's passed over and you're not sure whether they've actually gone to the fifth realm, they're hanging around in that area that is not a good space to be, is it?
No, it's not. I'm not going to lie about it. It just isn't.
Yep. And so consequently, you can understand why ghosts are connecting with humans, or, you know, like in our body, why they're trying to connect, because they're disorientated. They don't know where they are. They don't know what they're doing. So they'd be constantly sort of basically knocking at your psychic door.
That's exactly right. That's a really good way to say it, because they see you as being light, especially if you're trying to do good for others. You shed this light. I have a book out called Ghost Stories from the Ghost Point of View, Volume 3. And in Volume 3, it tells the story of something that happened to me in 1988. And in 1988, I was driving home from my job working for Commander Submarine Force, U.S. Atlantic Fleet. It's a rainy night. I'm sitting in a stoplight, 7-minute stoplight, and I get hit with an energy wave. And the next thing I know, I'm standing in wreckage. And this man in a shredded suit with a brown briefcase comes and says, "You have to help us. You have to help us all. We don't understand what happened to us. You're the one who's supposed to help us." And of course, I burst into tears, because I have never known grief on that level. And I had to pull over because I couldn't stop crying. And I was screaming, crying. The volume of grief was so staggering. I was supposed to get on an airplane the next day. And I realized that this was a plane crash. I could see thatch falling, and it was horrible what I was seeing. It was a horrible scene. And as long as I live, I'll never forget what this man said. "You're the one who's supposed to help us. It's your job." But that plane hadn't crashed yet. That plane wouldn't crash for 10 months, for 12 months. So I saw a future event. You can't cross over people who you can't cross over people who aren't.
Sorry, Tina, could you just repeat that again? You can't cross over people because
you can't cross over people who haven't died yet.
Yes, obviously.
Think about that. I saw a 747 worth of a number of people. I can't remember the exact number of people who died that day in the future, but the day that I saw them, they weren't dead yet. And so I'm not the only psychic that has the dead come to them and say, "You're the one. You have to help us." Only I didn't know how to help them then. And eventually I was able to help them, because I kept trying so hard to learn. And if you try hard enough, you will learn. And so eventually in 1997, someone tried to kill me using black magic. And that does happen. It's not some sort of myth or legend. It does happen. Remember, Grimm's fairy tales were based on reality. They weren't just a fairy tale. Disney sweetened it up, but it still has a lot of basis in truth. And because of that event, it's a long story, which I won't burden people with today, but I learned how to remote view a location. So I don't have to go to somebody's house. I can simply work with them at a distance anywhere on the planet. And I realized that even though this person had tried to kill me, he wasn't mine to judge. So I crossed him over, because I could see all these lower realm intelligences coming and scratching and grabbing at him, because he tried to do something so dark. the dead create karma when they're in that dimension. So let me stop for a minute and see. I don't want to go off the topic you asked, so let me make sure I'm answering the question that you asked.
I feel you have. I guess the other aspect I wanted to be mindful of is that when our loved one has crossed over, they are in this fourth dimension, and you have talked about a lot of this negative energy. In fact, you've talked about it that much that it's a little bit scary. But I also know that there's ways around that too. But we've got, if you can imagine, our loved ones or our child or something has crossed over, and they're in this realm that they don't know what they're doing. So it really, I think what you've honed in on there is the fact that how important it is to help them cross over, because you don't want them in that realm. And as you said, if they're in that realm, they're still collecting karma. So the more they're in that realm, the more karma they're going to collect. And it's not of a positive nature. It's more of a negative nature, because they need to move on to the positive, up to the fifth realm. So, yeah, that's really, really clear. But before we go on, Tina, you did mention a couple of the books. I've got the little ticker tape going down at the bottom, but of course for the podcast, people don't know that that's going. So there is some books that Tina's got. Now, the biggest book, or her most prized book, is the Crossing Over Prayer book. Now, I just wanted to say, and I'm sorry, Tina, but I know your throat's a little bit tickly, so if you don't mind, I'll just run through this. Tina has a prayer on her website, which is ghosthelpers.com, right? There is this, the basic prayer is on her website. So that will help people cross over. However, she has got the Crossing Over prayer book. And in that prayer book, there's 88 prayers that can help people, ghosts, cross into the fifth realm. Now, I thought to myself after seeing the prayer, thinking, why do we need 88 of them? But Tina will explain why we have 88, why there is 88 of them, and the relevance to them to get your loved one from the fourth to the fifth dimension. Is that okay, Tina?
Absolutely. There are 88 of them, because how many times has a person experienced a crisis, a divorce? They find out they have cancer. Their husband commits suicide. And you say, I'll pray for you. Really, what prayer are you saying? Your heart is in the right place, but wouldn't it be nice to have the most specific prayer possible? So let's take suicide. I spend a lot of time crossing over people who have taken their own lives, and 100% of them are always sorry. Well, there's a prayer, the crossing over prayer for those who have taken their own life, the suicide crossing over prayer. I can't remember. After you write 88 of them, you don't have every title in your head. This prayer is specific for a suicide. But the section on suicide includes, if you are a family member who's living, then there are prayers that you can use to help yourself and other family members. If you are an outsider, a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, there are prayers that you can send to the living family to help them. And the one of the huge reasons you want to help someone who took their own life cross over is because this is the reason people say suicide is contagious. Many years ago, my former business partner and I encountered a woman in South Africa who had 17 family members commit suicide. 17. And they were all crowded around her. All the 17 were ghosts around her. And guess what? She was having suicidal ideation. Well, those 17 family members got crossed over at that point in time. And it's like the sun came out for her. She couldn't determine what she was feeling, if what she was feeling were her own thoughts or the thoughts of 17 people who took their own lives. This is why if you have two boys and one boy takes his life, the mother is really worried about the second child, and sometimes she'll lose both of them. I've seen that happen. when you cross that person who took their own life over, that suicide prayer specifically addresses the emotional crisis the person was experiencing. That's why that prayer is specific. In addition to the other prayers that are specific for your, whatever, are you friend, are you family, you need to help them. Someone is dying of cancer. How do you help them through the dying process? And how do you cross them over afterwards? Cancer victims will often hang around family members, and their family members develop the same cancer. I've seen this happen over and over. So when you're crossing over souls, believe me, that person didn't intend to give their living family members cancer. It's not in their brain. There's their ghostly brain, their persona. It's what happens when you're in resonance with something that is an illness. Let's take someone who is murdered. A murder victim is held on to by the murderer. You talk about attachment. The murderer is still acquiring energy from his or her victim.
Oh,
when
my
you
God.
Cross the, yes, this is one of these secrets that nobody knows. And I'm so grateful to you for giving me my scratchy voice that I can share this information. It doesn't matter how long ago somebody died. It doesn't matter how long ago somebody died. It's my passion. I have this passion to help the living and the dead truly lives within me. So why would you cross over a murderer? There's a section in the book on murderers. So you have the prayer for the victim, the prayer for the victim's family, the living family, and the prayer to cross over the murderer. Because the murderer will reincarnate from the fourth dimension. Where do they come from? If it's not, they keep coming back again and again.
Yep.
In our Father's house, there are many mansions. I mean, I hear a Christian statement over and over, and it's absolutely true. So when you cross over a murderer, the prayer directs the angels to take that person that goes to the correct realm of the heaven world commensurate with that being's frequency. The murderer is not going to the same place as the murder victim. I want to be very clear. People say, well, why would I want? I want that person to suffer. No, you don't. Because they will haunt your family and they will haunt their victims as ghosts. Ghosts can haunt ghosts. There are many, many types of haunting. Another set of prayers. Your child dies. In 2003, my niece sat on the sofa next to my sister and she said, Mommy, I feel hot. And she died. I mean, right in front of my sister. So when someone's child dies, they're going to stay around what's familiar, their family. So I had to really work to cross her over. And I crossed her over within about 4 hours of her death. Children don't know what to do. So again, in the prayer book, you have it's the prayer to cross over a child who's died, the prayer for the family, if you're a family member, and a prayer if you're a friend for that family. So when you look at this prayer book, it's not 88 prayers to cross people over. It's 88 prayers of service for every conceivable occasion. I had people all over the world write to me and ask me to write a prayer for their alcoholic husband and a prayer for their drug addicted daughter. And so all of those prayers are in there. So that's a little bit about why this book is so important to me. And it's also on Audible. So you can listen to it. And if you don't remember the prayer, or whichever one you wanted, you can just listen for it on Audible.
Okay. And it gives you the instructions on how to use it in there as well, doesn't it?
Yes,
it does. The other thing I wanted to remind people to is the website is ghosthelpers.com. So not Ghostbusters, Ghost Helpers, okay, because we're helping them cross over. And Tina's contact email is contact@ghosthelpers.com. So there's a few different ways we can connect with Tina and get an understanding of what's going on if you have any issues there. So what we've talked about, Tina, is the fourth realm where somebody, if our loved one's passing over, they'll go to the fourth realm. How we've talked about the prayer and how we can help them go from the fourth realm to the fifth realm, which is the goal. This is what we want to do. And the reason why we don't want them staying in that fourth realm is because of the negativity and they're still collecting karma. We don't want that. They're confused, they're lost, they're not sure what they're doing. And the biggest thing, which is where I'm making my segue go to, is a lot of them get attached. And the attachment can work in both ways. And that's what I'd like to explain now about this attachment, because I know of my psychic friends and my intuitive friends, and they say, oh, yes, no, my mum and dad are here with me. That's not good. And I want you to explain that, if you wouldn't mind.
I'll be glad to. Several years ago, I was in 2012. I flew, it was 2014, doesn't matter. I was in Rio de Janeiro with my husband. He was captain of an oil rig. And I wanted a piece of amethyst. And so we were shopping the back jewelers off Rio de Janeiro, and I walked into the store and started coughing immediately because I knew there were the ghosts there. And the jewelers were really lovely people. And if you go to family-owned jewelers, you can do really well rather than the big houses. And so I'm there. I keep coughing. And my husband rolls his eyes. It's like, oh, my gosh, not again. Please don't do this here. So I looked at the owner and I said, did you have someone you love die recently? And she said, yes. I said, were there at least two of them? And she said, yes, my parents died. And I know they're here. And I'm keeping them here. I'm never letting them go. That's attachment.
Right.
Well, I did buy a beautiful amethyst ring. And we went back the next year, and I went to visit the jeweler. And I saw the parents again. And I said, look, if you follow me to the street, I can cross you over. But this is basically private property. You can ask for an angel to cross you over. But I can't just do this. And I'm going to open up a doorway in the street. All you have to do is walk out and walk through it. That's as far as I can go. And I don't know if they did it, but I made that available to them. And they kept saying, she'll never let us go. She's just holding and holding and holding. And so you have the living hold on to the dead. And that means that the dead feel like they can never escape. And they see the families grieve. And it has a huge impact on the ghosts. You have the reverse, where the ghost is so possessive, they hold on to the living. I had a client who had my business card for an entire year before she called me. Her mother died 10 years ago. She hadn't had a night's sleep in 10 years because her mother's attachment was so staggering. She kept this woman up night after night after night. She went on, and so the client said, I don't know if you can do anything. My mother is horrible. She's intransigent. She'll never let me go. And I said, well, you know, I have some clever ways. Let me try. What's the worst, you know? What's the worst that could happen? So I'm talking to the ghost, and she says, I'm never letting her go. I know just how to keep her up. And I said, And you took a whole year, and you talked her out of calling me for an entire year. And she said, yes. Well, for some reason, it didn't work the last time, and she called you. And I said, well, it's time for you to cross over. And she says, you have no power over me. There's nothing you can do. And I said, well, in this realm, my power does trump yours. And I brought in these two enormous angels, and they took on each elbow, and they walked her right into the heaven world. And the next day, the client said it was the first night's sleep she'd had in 10 years. It was astounding how much her life changed because of the attachment of the ghost. I had a doctor who lived down the street from me. He was a leading orthopedic surgeon in San Diego. And He died in a motorcycle crash. What he was doing at 66 years old, riding a motorcycle at night, I don't know, but he was. And he appeared in my office, and I said, how did you get in here? And he said, well, believe me, it wasn't easy. He said, I really enjoyed it when I lived near you. He said, if you don't help me, my family will never let me go. I can already see these energetic cords tying around my spiritual feet, and their grief is so staggering. I feel like they are crushing my heart. My daughter is furious. I won't walk her down the aisle or be a grandfather to her children. My sons are mad at me. And he said, I can't take it anymore. I'm sorry I died, but it's not that bad. I was really tired. It's not a bad exit strategy, you know? And I said, well, you know, it's not up to me to judge you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm bringing in the teams. This was such a good man. I mean, this was one of the most highly regarded physicians you'd ever want to meet. He was just a fine, fine man. And so I crossed him over. And I never let his family know because the ghost actually had free will and could ask me and I could immediately help him. He wasn't the only neighbor I helped cross over. I had a suicide. Somebody else in the neighborhood committed suicide. And he showed up and he said, gee, I didn't know you were so bright. And I said, well, who knew? And he said, there are black magicians and horrible things in our house. And they caused me to take my life and they're going after my wife. And I need you to walk down the street and tell her to get out of that house. And I said, well, I'm so glad you have confidence in me. But the truth is that works really well on television. But they think you're a hard-hearted screwball if you do that in real life.
But absolutely.
When you cross over, I have it on really good authority that you are going to be able to communicate with your wife in the sleep state, because there will be angels of divine wisdom who will be able to help you and guide you. And how to help your wife. And he says, well, if you're wrong, I'm going to come back. And I said, I don't think so. Trust me, you're going to be just fine. And so will your wife. And so I crossed him over. And 24 hours later, she left the house and she never returned. So wow. He did get the help he needed.
Yes.
So, I mean, I just have a lot of these stories. So let me stop for a minute and see, is that where, are we on the right track here?
Yeah, absolutely. So where I was going with that is that the fact that we've got that attachment, and I get the you can if the human person says, can you help me? You can help them. But if the human person says, no, I want this attachment, I want my parents here, or I want my family member, I want my child around me, I want to feel them all the time. Then there's not a lot that you can do, is there? You can give the ghosts an option, but if that human is hanging on to them for dear life, then it's really quite challenging. And I guess where I'm going with this is the fact that I don't think that's fair. I think we need to allow the people that we love that pass over to go to the fifth realm. I don't feel it's right that we should be holding them in that fourth realm with all that negativity.
That's absolutely true. The problem is it takes a lot of enlightenment, I to be blunt, to understand this. This is not an easy concept. Mm. I have had so many family members holding on to their children who died. And they're not trying to be cruel in any way. They think that they love them, and that loving and holding on are helping them. But they're feeling their loved one's grief, and they're feeling their own grief. And then they become intermingled, and you can't tell whose grief is whose. And it makes your grief mountainous. When you cross that soul over, your grief diminishes dramatically. and you can finish your grieving process. But if you're holding on, you're going to grieve for a really long time. It's amazing. Wow. People say, I feel so much lighter. And I was on an old plantation in the South many years ago, and I saw the slave owners, and I saw the indentured servants, and the plantation owners, and none of them had crossed over. And it wasn't my property. And so I created a doorway in the public street. You pay taxes, you have public streets, you can do that. And I told them all, this is the doorway out. The irony was everybody was still a slave. They were still a servant. They were still, nothing had changed in 300 years on that plantation. And I opened the doorway and I said, it's now time for all of you to leave, but it's private property. I can't go in and remove you all. It was open to the public for so many hours a day. And they closed it because families were still living there. It had been continuously occupied since 1607. Long time.
Wow.
Well, for the Americas, it's a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, Europe has ancient stuff. So I have to follow spiritual law. And it's really hard because not a lot of the psychics know what spiritual law is. And just because I have this zeal to help people doesn't mean I get to violate the law. So I have to be respectful of private property, and people have free will.
Yep.
If I ask them or I confront them, then they'll do it. Do we have time for another story?
I absolutely agree. We do have that free will, and I've noticed that with a lot of psychics. They do tend to use this opportunity to, ego-based, very, very ego-based. And it's like, no, that's not what it's about. It's about you ask and you can get help for sure. But if you don't ask, you won't. And the same with help people crossing over or helping someone cross over. You have to ask. And I know in one of the other podcasts, you said that you have to be very, very firm. You direct the angels quite firmly to give them an understanding. And I was sitting on that thinking, wow, we need to direct them that much. But when you talk about that fourth dimension and the situation that's happening in that fourth dimension, I don't blame the angels. Why the hell would you want to go there for? You know?
When you're in that dimension, I spent a lot of time there. You can ask for help. And I perform due diligence on the help that arrives. That's another thing that I encourage every psychic to do, is perform due diligence. I bring these angels in. I can feel the frequency because I've been at this, since for a really, really long time. But if you don't know and you're not sure, dump salt on them. If they're a black magician or a lower realm, they will vanish. And then they were going to fool you. But an angel, if you dump all that salt on an angel, the angel's going to go, well, gee, that felt good. And then you have the real deal. And the reason that I direct the angels, it's not out of arrogance, but angels cannot violate free will. Under spiritual law, which applies equally to the angels, you cannot violate free will. So they appear because I ask them. And then I direct them to take this child, this adult, this 100,000 people standing before me who died, in some catastrophe. I mean, an awful lot of psychics crossed over the people who died in the Banda Aceh earthquake in 2004. And we're coming up on almost the anniversary of that in a couple weeks. So when you have volumes like that, I bring in massive teams of angels to bring these people in. And there's a sorting process. They don't all go to the same realm because it's in the spiritual world, everything is frequency. Not everybody's frequency is the same. So the angels are going to determine, where does this person go based on frequency.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Tina, we're starting to get a bit low on time, and I could just talk to you forever. I love this. I love how it makes sense. Like it's quite analytical, and yet of the spirit nature or of the energy nature. So it makes sense to me, and I'm sure it's going to make sense to a lot of people. The last thing I want to just touch on is so we've talked about the prayers and how that's going to help. So if somebody is passing, say we have a lot of elderly people that are passing, or people that are passing from cancer, and they're in that midst, they're in the end of their life, and you've got family all around, is that the time to do the prayer as their loved one is leaving, or do you wait until they leave, actually pass, and then start doing the prayer?
Oh, my God, that is a fabulous question. Thank you so much for asking it. This exact scenario happened to my brother in 2017, and I unabashedly adored this brother. I can't begin to tell you how much. And I took care of him until he died. And when he was in intensive care and he had the morphine drip, as he got into the hospital, I could see the angel of death in the corner. And I set up a structure and I put his soul inside the structure. And I asked that angels surround him and protect him. And I did happen to be there when he flatlined. And I mean, within seconds of his flatlining, I had these angels ready and they crossed him over in this blaze of amazing light. He was a truly amazing man. And so he's visited me, he came to his memorial, and he's visited me three times in the sleep state, which is allowed under spiritual law. Mm-hmm. And as deeply as I love this man, I crossed him over within seconds of death.
Yeah.
So I have a slightly different ability than maybe other people. So if your loved one is in a hospital, by all means, fill the room with angels and then direct them that if you don't happen to be present, that as soon as death comes, to guide the soul, your loved one, into the heaven world. The moment death comes, you can also print out the prayer. And if they fall into a coma, just keep reading the prayer now and then. And then as soon as they die, read the prayer three times. And one of the elements of the prayer is gratitude to the angels and to God. When you get spiritual service from the higher realms at this level, it's incredibly important to express humility and gratitude to them, because I can't do my job without them.
Yeah.
You become this team and you become in resonance with this beautiful team of angels. These wonderful beings who are there every day on so many levels and in so many ways. Mm. So you're guiding your loved one. There's another thing you can do, and the families who have done this have had a very good experience where they bring family members around, and every family member goes around and tells the person who's dying what they loved about them and what their life meant to them. It was an opportunity mm-hmm. for family healing, and it mitigates yes. grief. You get to say the things you wish you could have said. And even if you're shy, I've had men just start crying and say, you don't know what you meant to me. Mm-hmm. Now, let's say the person who's dying was just a mean, you know what, and you hated mm-hmm. this person. Still do the same process. Surround yeah. them with angels and have them crossed over. You don't want that person to come back and haunt you or the family. And I've seen
that. Yeah, absolutely.
Too. So yeah, you have some options here and it can make a difference. Yeah.
Wow, that is amazing. And it's so many, it's when you say the things you did, like I had the experience with my sister who passed away. She had a brain tumor and she passed away, and all the family were around when she was leaving, and I didn't know what to do. Like I had no idea that there was a prayer or anything like that. But I said to all the family members, everyone put your hand on her, and it's time now to say what you want to say to her before she goes. And once we did exactly that, everybody had their opportunity to say something, to say their goodbyes, to say whatever it was they needed to say. And you know, we just sort of said that, you know, it's time to go. You got to go to the light and that. And we just, I didn't know what I was doing. Like I said, I'm not very, I was really unsure about it, but I just followed my gut and went, this is what we need to do, because it was for the benefit of her, not, and for the benefit of us. It was, exactly. So it was really quite amazing. Yeah. But Tina, we're running out of time. We have to say goodbye. Is there anything, one last thing you want to put forward before we go?
I would like all of your listeners, I'd first like to thank you for listening. I am deeply grateful that I had this opportunity. But I would like each person to remember that we're all going to become ghosts. And the compassion that you're showing for ghosts right now will be the compassion you will desperately want for yourself. And direct your family what to do and when it's your turn to die, whether it's suddenly or you live to be 100 like Betty White. And so when you do that, you are doing great spiritual service, which is really why we're here. And it's an act of profound and tremendous love, whether you know this is the ghost or not. And I would like to thank every one of you for your service. The book is the Crossing Over Prayer book. The website's ghosthelpers.com. If you want to read some more of my personal stories, Ghost Helpers from the Ghost Point of View, volumes 1, 2, or 3, all three of them are on Audible, and they're interesting to listen to, all these different experiences. And Susan, thank you so much for having me. It has been a blast.
Oh, thank you so much for being on there. You don't realize how many aha moments I've had with what you've said, and being able to reflect back on what I've experienced as well too. So I am so truly grateful to have you on. And I don't believe we've come to an end yet. I think there's probably another podcast or two to come yet.
Yes.
But that's it. We've got to go because the time is running out. Thank you so much, Tina. Stay on there, and I'll have a chat when I'm finished.
All righty.
Okay. Oh, that was amazing. I just I can't believe the information we get out of it, and how giving Tina is. It's just been wonderful. This is the third podcast, but I reckon we can get another couple out of her. What do you reckon? All right, so that's it for me. We need to get going because I'm just about out of time. Join the Facebook group, Intuitive Personal Development, for live readings if you want to grab a couple of those. And we've got the online courses too to help you develop your intuition. But that's me. I'm going to say bye, and I'll see you next week. Okay, have a great year.